Shalom Yehudim, Shalom Lebnei Noach, Shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the fifth day, Yud Zayin B'mach Heshvan, Parashas Vayera, Tavshinayin Zayin. The evening of the fourth day, Thursday, 17 November 2016, webcasting from the hills of Judea. Well, the first reading of four of a bill to legalize all the outposts was voted on yesterday in the Knesset. I think that's what it does. It passed 58-55 because head of the Kulanu Party, Moshe Kahlon, said yesterday to the Prime Minister, to his request that he not oppose the bill and support it, on the condition, he says, that it will not in the end disrespect the High Court, whatever that means. In any case, the procedure requires discussion and three more votes. The good news was the decision of the mayor of Jerusalem, Neil Balcott, who said, more or less, if the High Court's ruling to destroy Amona is a kosher, that's the uprooting of 40 Jewish families, his government, the Jerusalem municipality, will demolish 14 Arab homes. And it was also reported that there are hundreds of such homes, illegal, in the Arab side of the city. But for whatever reasons, Israel has left them alone. Now it will no longer do that. That was the implication. The mayor said, there will not be one law for Jews and another one for Arabs, close quote. Bravo. But overshadowing the surprise reversal by Moshe Kahlon in the Knesset vote, who had rigorously opposed the bill, the top story was Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman's royal edict yesterday, as if he were the captain of the ship, when he said, quote, there should be no building in small settlements, only in the settlement blocks. That is what we should ask permission for from the incoming Trump administration. Well, what did I tell you in both webcasts this week? I said, what is so pathetic in the anti-settler camp is they're clinging to the fantasy, analyzed last week and the week before, that the two-state solution they envision will result in Israel keeping Jerusalem and what the Israelis call the large settlement blocks, and the Arabs will be content. That is the fantasy of the two-state solution in Israeli minds, if not Jewish minds. And Lieberman belongs to the former camp. His big idea for years now is ridding Israel of Umm al-Fahm, a huge Arab town, Israeli town of Arabs, on the road from the coast to the Jezreel Valley. Avigdor Lieberman impresses yours truly as a nationalist, like a Russian nationalist coming from Moldova. Albeit of Jewish extraction, but a nationalist nonetheless. The idea of ceding any more land to the Arabs under any circumstances is anathema to religious Jews and a handful of secular ones, to be truthful, of the old school of secular Zionism. And just the other day I saw some video of two old chalutzim here of the left, kibbutzniks, who seem to have stepped right out of Leon Uris's Exodus, who were like living fossils, shameless in their undying belief of the left in those days, that all of historic Eretz Yisrael was legitimately Jewish property. Not one tear by them was shed for any injustice to the Palestinians in 1948, because there weren't any Palestinians at the time except themselves. They were the Palestinians. These were two kibbutzniks, as secular as one could be, who support us settlers in Judea and Samaria. For, in all intellectual honesty on their part, the religious claim is identical to that of the labor Zionist claim in the generation of Ben-Gurion and Golda Meir, a claim based on the Bible. Today, though, the reason the left does not support us is that we are religious, which irritates them no end. Religion went out of fashion in the 18th, 19th centuries, 17th centuries perhaps, in the age of the Enlightenment. Which is one reason to this very day Israel's High Court expresses its enlightened opinions using the word enlightened. It's their gospel, not Jewish opinion, not Zionist opinion, it's enlightened opinion. Lieberman is a nationalist, like Vladimir Putin, only Lieberman is over his head in his judgment of the incoming U.S. administration and out of line dictating government policy, when that belongs to arguably the cabinet and really the prime minister. It was also, I felt, embarrassing as he expressed his view that Israel had to get permission from the U.S. to build in the established settlement blocks. Now, that may be true in a way, tactically and practically, but it should not be expressed. The United States does not have the authority to issue permission to the Jewish people to live anywhere in Judea and Samaria. We don't need anyone's permission. Of course, that's not brought up too often. Israelis do not know how to demand their rights. Protesting Lieberman's pronouncement from the right, the two heads of the Knesset's Land of Israel faction or group, MK's Yoav Kish and Bezalel Smotrich, not only said such a policy is made in the cabinet, not by one minister, the defense minister, and they added most perceptively and sharply, quote, "There is no reason why a right-wing government has to adopt the diplomatic plans of the left," close quote, which is what basically Lieberman is doing when he talks like that. At some point, hopefully, when Donald Trump becomes president, Israel will tell the world that after 24 years of the Oslo scheme, one has the right to declare it a failure, and as Monty Python used to say, and now for something completely different. We also heard from Princess of Peace Tzipora Livni, who said Lieberman, who in his statement cited the Bush-Sharon understandings of a dozen years ago, is correct. The idea then, and obviously still is for Tzipi and Lieberman, the plan of keeping the settlement blocks but not the isolated settlements. And never mind that the Arabs see no difference between them, see no difference that the Israelis do. Their rationale, whether they know it or not, the Israelis, is that the big communities are just too big to move and evacuate and resettle hundreds of thousands of Israeli Jews. Their position is not rooted in what is right. It's sheer practicality, and it misses the core poison in the hearts and minds of our mortal enemies that is directed at our right to live anywhere in the Holy Land. Israelis have never understood that by tolerating and even fostering from the left the movement that is so-called Palestinian nationalism, they sabotage their own nationalism. World anti-Jewry says, just as Rashi described in his first comment to the Torah almost 1,000 years ago, that we stole this land, that's what they say, our enemies, and by tolerating and catering to, as in the Oslo abomination, the validity of this claim made by the Latter-day Saints of Palestine, we cut off the branch we're sitting on. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You cannot demand your rights by respecting Palestinian rights. The correct response or riposte to the charge of stealing another people's country from them is not, as Israelis think, let's make a deal, let's share it together. The proper response is that we stole nothing. The accusation is no more worthy than the charge of treason against Captain Alfred Dreyfus. The Roots Sheva site reported on Lieberman's statement, and they gave it the headline, "Is he moving left?" And the answer is no, he's not moving left. He's always been a secular nationalist who now wants American support, even at the expense of self-abasement. Israel does not need anyone's permission. Israel needs support and has obligation to respect American interests and desires, which may differ from those of Israel, but it's not permission we need to build. Only in the large towns, as an Israeli, Lieberman also avoids the question of Jewish rights to live anywhere in Judea and Samaria. Today, Jerry Post ran a front-page panoramic photograph of Amona, shot from a distance, and as we've seen before, in settlement after settlement, there are no Ishmaelites in the vicinity. All we see is a barren, rocky, treeless hills, in the middle of which are a few structures where Jews are living. The contemporary, enlightened, bejeweled anti-Jew aggression, it's a kind of, there goes the neighborhood. But unlike Jews elsewhere moving into a neighborhood that can upset Gentiles who recoil at their presence, here there is no neighborhood. There's not an ancient Palestinian in sight. Not a building built by any ancient one in sight. The High Court backs the claim made by some hostile NGO in the name of some nameless ship, and the question is never asked, on your property? The hills in this photo are the same barren hills seen by Mark Twain in 1867. by Herman Melville in 1857, by Edward Lane, whose painting of Jerusalem 1859 is the cover of my book. There's something fishy going on here. The secular Zionists who built this state produced, evidently, offspring that do not know how to stake their claim to this land, as their parents did, who are no more religious than they are. Israelis like these live in a bubble of a fantasy that the Arab goy here and the Muslim goy abroad and other anti-Jews will accept a solution in which Israel gets to keep the big communities but hands over everything else in order to pay its respects to the ancient Palestinian right to a state here, which they've had since the beginning of time.
Oh,
Now, speaking of the future of Judea and Samaria, Yedioth's Orly Azoulay on YNetNews.com reported last night that the Muslim enemy in the Oval Office is mulling over UN Security Council resolution against the settlements in one form or another. Leastwise, on Tuesday, a White House official spoke to American Jewish reporters and said Obama's National Security Council advisors were presenting different options to him. Two of them we know to be devout anti-Jews, Ben Rhodes, who called the prime minister, you may remember, chicken droppings, and Robert Malley, the son of a radical left New York Jewess and a Marxist Egyptian Jew, likewise both pious anti-Israelites, as is he. In the news report, quote, the anonymous official who briefed the reporters said the Obama administration is concerned with the situation on the ground here. Quote, the two-state solution is dying. This trend is not good. There's a de facto annexation. We, the Americans, can only rebuke the sides. We've searched in the dictionary for 1,000 different ways to condemn the settlement construction, and it's not helping. A condemnation has no bite, and Israelis know this. It was actually the Palestinians who listened to us on incitement and hatred, close quote. Had I been in the room, I would have had to restrain myself to keep myself from punching this guy's lights out. First of all, there is no settlement building, as his words imply, meaning new ones. And when someone lies about Jews, he's an anti-Semite. Is there building inside communities that were on the ground 23 years ago? For sure there are, which was okay by Oslo. And as for stating that at least the Jew killers listened to American entreaties and reduced their incitement and hatred, this is another anti-Semitic lie. Anyone who subscribes to Palestinian Media Watch, as I do, and gets their posts, they are often translations from the Arab media here, all of them under the thumb of Mahmoud Abbas. And it's clear that the Arab lies and hatred have never ceased. Just this week, the PA revived the charge that Israelis murdered Arafat. The PA continues to give name public spaces after monstrous terrorists who massacred Jews in satanic explosions. What is this White House flunky talking about? The Jew killers praised for something that they did not do, and Israel is accused of something that is not true. Yeah, these are Obama's national security advisors. And there's a connection between them and the way they think and the situation that has developed in the states since the elections of these riots and mayors declaring their cities to be sanctuary cities. The connection between these national security advisors on Israel and Obama's governance of the United States of America. I think there's a phenomenon here of these rioters resulting from Obama's drive to fundamentally change America. And boy, has he ever. He has fanned the flames of virtual sedition in this case. And in these sanctuary cities, well, it's all of a piece with his refusal over 8 years to close the border with Mexico and his remarks this week in Greece. He spoke of tribalism, excessive nationalism. He was again fanning the flames of the desire to destroy America by destroying the definition of America as a society and a culture. Hillary Clinton, too, during the campaign, was reported to have told South Americans in private that she, too, believed in open borders. Remember when Trump, during the primaries, was asked to commit to accepting the results of the election, which he kept claiming was going to be rigged? But now look at who is objecting to the results. Who's rejecting the results? The Hillaryites, the Obamaites, and hysterically so. This is unprecedented. Obama, in his first run for office, virtually sneered at the idea of America as an exceptional society. How could he accept that, and by implication, demean the countries of his beloved Islam? This is the technique of the multicultures. All cultures are of equal worth. And when it comes to immigration, well, Americans are greedy if they do not share their country with whomever wants to come in. Who needs immigration and manpower and infrastructure to enforce these laws? Just throw open the borders to the whole world. This is the culture of political correctness and multi-culti egalitarianism. It's all an aggression against traditional Judeo-Christian society. No one, not even on the right, has the fortitude to pronounce Islam incompatible with the American way, which is one reason we have to close our borders to Muslims. They are polygamists, and not coincidentally, they are chronic abusers and oppressors of women. They preach hatred of non-Muslims. They hate dogs. Obama has opened the doors to America to 1 million-plus Muslims, so-called refugees, and a statistically insignificant trickle of Christian refugees. He says not a word about the chronic persecution of Christians in Egypt and Pakistan. And in this news item, he praises the so-called Palestinians, but not the Jews. He never has a good word for the Jews. It's part of his assault on Western civilization. It includes the legitimization of sodomy and other perversions that diminish the birth rate. It was Hillary Clinton who famously, or rather infamously, called Trump supporters Islamophobes and homophobes. I tell you, Western culture is under attack, and under attack by this man, and assisted by the corrupt remnants of the Democratic Party that supported this criminal woman and her competitor, Bernie Sanders, the Israel-hating communist of Jewish extraction. And now it's not surprising to read that Keith Ellison, the only Muslim, is going to become, or may become, a party head, the Democratic Party head, this unabashed convert to Islamic barbarism, this anti-Semite. That he is a candidate to head the Democratic Party is another indication of just how low the liberal and the left in the West have sunk, how decadent, meaning decay. Like Obama, he has been connected, Ellison, to the Farrakhan Jeremiah Wright community of hateful blacks, anti-Semitic blacks, who see in America an evil nation for supporting Israel, a nation that needs an infusion of Muslims to convert them, the nation, to the one true faith. It is not good that one wing of Western culture has so rotted through it has become a cancerous limb on the body politic. On the other hand, the other side of society, there is a silver lining in the incoming Trump administration, which promises to be an embarrassment of riches and talent in the government that he is forming.
Stam lehaser, stam lefatpe, stam ledaber, stam leshaker, stam ledaber al hayim, lehitchazek, umina stam lichtov shirim, stam lekashkesh ulefashpesh, להתחדש, להתרגש, סתם להיות או לא להיות, זה סתם שטויות, הכל שטויות, סתם לחפש ולאפס, להתפוצץ, להתאפס, פשוט סתם. סתם להרכיב, סתם, סתם לפרק, זה סתם להתנתק, להתברק, סתם להקדים, סתם לאחר או לבטל, סתם למהר, סתם לא לרצות להיגמר, סתם להצדיק, להצטדק, להשתנק, להתרחק, סתם להיות או לא להיות, בינינו זה הכל שטויות, סתם לתרץ, להתאמץ, להתנוצץ, להתחפש, הכל סתם. יש סתם סתם, סתם לבקש, להתבקש בסתם לכתוב, בסתם גם להיות כתוב להתגאות ומן הסתם להיות עלוב בסתם לרוץ, להיעצר, להשתקר, להתפורר גם להיות או לא להיות זה סתם שטויות, הכל שטויות סתם לעלות ולעלות ליפול חזק, להתגלות פשוט סתם
listening to www.deprogramprogram.com broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. And so in the aftershock of the Trump victory, the MSM, populated by degenerate liberals, continues its hysteria about Donald Trump, from the New York Times to the Jerusalem Post. The in-crowd has already judged Trump to be an incompetent failure when it comes to organizing his team. There's chaos in the Trump camps, they say, this herd of independent minds. On the contrary, if Donald Trump brings on board Rudy Giuliani, John Bolton, Newt Gingrich, Michael Flynn, Frank Gaffney, Ben Carson, Claire Lopez, this could be a dream team for Trump. Has trumpeted making America great again is the job. After the enemy agent in the White House from Islam denies that and has worked to destroy America. Governor Mike Pence, too, now Vice President-elect Pence, seems to be a great asset in a variety of ways. As a senator and governor, he knows the corridors and machinery of power in politics to advise and guide Trump, who surely does not have his knowledge and experience. A friend of mine here is from Indianapolis, and knows Pence personally. He says he's a terrific guy, and there is no better friend of Israel. In fact, all of these men are known supporters of Israel as an ally in Western civilization's war of self-defense against the same enemy, basically the Empire of Islam, Muslims, Iran, and all the terror cults, including Fatah and Hamas and Hezbollah and the Taliban and ISIS. And domestically, the Trump administration, one hopes, sees the connection between the riots in Ferguson, Missouri, and Baltimore, Maryland, and the nightly bloodshed in the streets of Chicago, and the ridiculous and annoying defiance of federal law with these sanctuary cities. It's all part of the same subversion fostered and nurtured by Obama. What Trump may be remembered for by historians, let's hope, is the one who turned America around and halted its degenerate collapse by reinstalling a healthy self-love. Obama, as we saw in Greece this week, stands for the opposite. He stands for self-loathing. That is why when he first took office, he launched himself on his apology tour. America is no longer the home of the brave and the land of the free, but the land of deplorables, of racists and homophobes and Islamophobes. Sealing off the southern border is necessary in itself, in a material sense, but also in a symbolic sense. It makes the statement that America cannot be all things to all peoples. It cannot stand for all cultures and religions as of equal worth. The word definition comes from the Latin finis, the end, as in the words final and finale. A definition sets boundaries. And what America needs, what's left of a civilization needs, is a restatement of its values and principles, and an exclusion of values and principles that don't belong in Western civilization. Like Obama's half-baked communist fantasy of free health care for everybody, or free health care for the poor, paid for by the rich. Cuba style. It's another wonderful moment in the Torah Sinai when a judge is instructed not to favor the rich man over the poor man for whatever, to ingratiate himself, to expect future favors for the rich and the powerful. That's an easy one for people to understand. But also the Torah says the judge may not favor the poor man against the rich man as a kind of, freelance pity and compassion for him. All men and women are equally responsible for their acts, and it's perfectly possible that a poor man will aggress against a rich man. To excuse the poor man because he is poor deprives him of his human obligations, regardless of his station in life. Versus Obama and the communists, who wave the flag of a false equality when men and women are not equal. The injustice of racism is the treating of all blacks as one, when, like every community on earth, they have among them the great, the above average, the below average, and then the lowlife of those like the blacks who riot in Ferguson and Baltimore and shoot each other in the streets of Chicago. Racism is so unfair when it denies individuals like a Ben Carson the opportunity to excel, or the sheriff David Clark, who may also be in the Trump administration. The abyss in Western culture between its two sides these days is no longer between left and right, those categories invented during the French Revolution. It's between the sane and the principled versus the insane, the decadent and the corrupt.
ושבור אולינו מארץ עברנו ותוליכנו מהירה קוממיות לארצנו ושבור 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 אולינו מארץ עברנו ותוליכנו
Okay, that's it for this webcast and for the week. And I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.